Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf, Chulin Daf Pei Aleph. We begin 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Back to Oisoi Ve'espenoi. Here comes another statement from Rav Hamnuna, which actually connects back to yesterday. Amar Rav Hamnuna. You're meant to know, Oimer Hoy Rabbi Shimon. It is Rabbi Shimon's opinion that Ein Oisoi Ve'espenoi Noyeg Bekotchem. Isn't it? The whole Isser of Oisoi Ve'espenoi does not apply to carbon animals. Why? So basically, on a regular, ordinary animal, one must ensure that the shechita on the animal takes place a day apart from the shechita of its offspring. But that prohibition does not apply to karbanos. Why are karbanos different? Listen to this. My time. You know why? Kiv and the Amar Rabbi Shimon. So we learned this yesterday. Rabbi Shimon tells us, shechita she'ena ru'uya, unless a shechita has the ability to render the animal, the flesh, as edible material to permit the basar, right? So only an edible shechita, so to speak, is considered, is reckoned as a shechita regarding all these halachis, regarding oisav es b'nai, etc. But a shechita she'ein ruya, a shechita which is inedible, which doesn't affect edibility on the basar, lo yishmo shechita, is not regarded as shechita. Likewise, every shechita, every carbon, is inhibited. Is a diminished shechita because it doesn't affect instant edibility. You have to wait until, you know, later on when you do the zrika of the dam on the mizbeah. So technically, the shechita per se, as a standalone experience, does not affect heter achilu. Does not make it edible, and therefore it's not considered a valid shechita with respect to the subject of oisai ve'esbenoi. Likewise, the shechita of a carbon, shechita shenerui, is considered shechita shenerui. It's not reckoned with respect to oisav espenoi. So it wasn't shechted, and therefore you can shecht the offspring on the same day. Which is an interesting chiddush, as we pointed out yesterday, because technically the shechita will eventually affect edibility. You just have to wait patiently until the zrika happens. It's like phase one, which will eventually conclude with phase two, phase three. Eventually, the zrika will complete the process. But his chiddush is, and you know, Rav is going to challenge it. His chiddush is that no, since there's no instant edibility, it's not reckoned. Masav Rav, I have a question from Rav Brisa where it seems otherwise. Even according to Rav Shimon, you have to count it as a shechita regarding oisav es benoi. Masav Rav. Here's a Brisa. Oisav es benoi. So you have a animal with his offspring. And he did shechita on both. Kochim b'chutz, they both happened to be carbon materials, and he did it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Shimon himself is speaking here. He says, yeah, you know, for the first one, there was kares, full-fledged liability, because he did the carbon outside, he shouldn't have. But the second one, Rav Shimon Oim Yesheni, on the second shechita outside, it's a limited violation. It's a limited liability, sheni b'loy sa'asi. There's only a loy sa'asi. There's no karis. You see, really, only a carbon which is fully suitable as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. If done outside, there's karis. Something which is not fit for a carbon, there's no karis for doing it outside. But here, there's technically nothing wrong with this animal per se. There's sort of an external impediment holding us back from doing shechita today because it's the same day as it's mother. So it's just a timing issue. It's sort of short-timed. Rav Shimon says, in that case, it's a special isser. It's not karis, it's a leisas. It is discussed, in, if you recall back in Maseches Zvachim, a special pasuk, which covers this, you know, time-shorted carbon. Rav Shimon Omer, sheni b'leisasi, and the second animal, if shechita was done outside the Mikdash, it's a leisasi, there's no karis, despite it being a carbon. Shehoi Rav Shimon Oimer, as Rav Shimon would tell us, kol haroi lova lachar zman, if you have a carbon which will be suitable, you know, a bit later on, so it's just a question of waiting it out. If it's currently done outside, harihu b'loi sa'asei, there's a loi sa'asei, v'ein b'karis without karis. V'chachamim Oimerim, chacham disagree. It's either all or nothing. If it's currently suitable, Then if it's done outside, there's karis, punishment. But otherwise, it's completely potter. If there's no karis because it's not currently suitable as a karban, be it because it's something wrong or because it's short-timed, there is no beloisase. Fine. Let's go back to Rav Shimon. V'kashlan, we have a very strong question on this. Kachem b'chutz, sheni beloisase. Shimon teaches, right? So both karbanos were outside, the second one has a loisase. But no karis because it's not yet ready for a karban. You have to wait it out until tomorrow. Hold it. Why bother waiting it out? Kama miktel katal. You see, according to Rav Shimon, the shechita of a karban is not considered shechita ru'uya. It's not an edible shechita. So the shechita on the first of the two here was not really considered a proper shechita, a valid shechita with respect to Eisav Espinoi. It's as though it's never happened. As though the animal was just killed. Kama, the first one, miktel katal, was just killed. He killed it. Without shechita, so now the second one is not a second one. It's like the first. There's nothing holding us back from taking it back inside and using it as a karban. So if it's fully suitable, if it's roi, if it's kosher for a karban, if he does it outside, he should get kares, like any other suitable animal. Sheini meskabu b'fnimu, the second one is fully acceptable inside, and if he does it outside, kares, namely the chayv, he should be liable for kares. That's a bomb question. So because of this kasha, v'amar Rav, Rav explained, v'amar Rav, some say it was another chacham who's unnamed kadei, chasurei mechsero. We have to fill in the missing blanks in this brisa and revise it as follows. Something's missing. The brisa reads like this. Kachem shnei machuz. We took two karbanis. Did them both outside. Animal and offspring. So, l'rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, rishayin anush karis. On the first one, there's karis because it was a perfect karb. We did it outside. Karis. Sheini pasul apot. Milav de shchutichus. The second one is pasal because it was done outside, but there's no liability, there's no karis because it wasn't ready for a karban today. It's too early. The Rav Shimon, but according to Rav Shimon, actually shneim anushim karis. Both individuals, the one who did the first and the second one, gets karis because of that very reason that we had proposed. Because the second one isn't really a second one. Since the first was a carbon, that's not shechita ru'uya, so we ignore that, and says, oh, this one is the first. The first? You're not short-timed. You can do it today in the Beis HaMikdash. Why are you doing it outside? Karis. In line with our understanding of Rav Shimon's shita. And the brisa continues. The next case. Echad b'chutz v'echad b'fnim. So you have two carbon animals. One is shechted outside, v'echad b'fnim, the offspring inside. What's the result? Okay, l'ra bottom. According to Rabbanon, that any shechita counts for Oisev Es B'noi, Rishon Anush Karis is Karis for the first one, because it was regular carbon outside. Sheini Pasul. The second one, even though it was done inside, it's Pasul, because it's Mechusar Zman, it's lacking time, meaning it's short time, it's still within the same day, too close, too early. Upater. And, you know, there's no Karis, because he did it inside. The Reb Shimon, according to Reb Shimon, who says that an inedible shechita, such as a shechita of a carbon. So the first shechita doesn't really count. With respect to starting the clock of Oisev Es B'noi, the Reb Shimon, so there's karis on the first one, because he did the shechita of the carbon outside, which is even by shechita sheni ruya, this karis. Sheni kasher. Lo and behold, the second carbon done inside, even on the same day as kasher, because it's as though he's the first one. Third case, echad b'fnim v'echad b'chutz. He took the pair of karbanos, did the first one inside the midah, second one outside. L'rabbanan, rishon kasher, or potter. According to Rabbanan, the first one is A-OK, perfect carbon, a carbon inside, but better that you get than that. Sheini, pasul, or potter. Regarding the second one, which was on outside, it's pasul because it's shechut echut, a carbon outside. U-potter, but it's potter. There's no karis because it was short-timed. It was premature. Within the same day as the mother, so it's not roi for a carbon. There's no liability. Well, Reb Shimon, sheni b'leisase, and Reb Shimon, the second one is a leisase. Why? Because, as we explained before, even though it's still premature, it's still too early, but the factor is sort of external, it's just a timing factor. Nothing inherently wrong with the animal itself. So, in this case, if he does it outside the Beis HaMikdash, there's no curse, but there's a lav. Okay, so Rava presented a brisa as a kasha, he revised it. Now we have three cases in the brisa. We're going to focus on that third case, the most recent case. which was a pair of karbanis. First one shechted inside, second one outside. According to Rav Shimon, if we will follow Rav Amnunas' track that a shechita of a carbon is never considered shechita ru'uya because it doesn't trigger instant edibility. It's not a shechita which is considered ru'uya according to Rav Shimon. So in this case, when he did the first carbon inside, we discount it. It says, oh, it never happened. So now when he takes the second one outside, he should get karis. Nothing wrong with it. He's not short-timed. He's not premature. He's a standalone proper carbon. Why doing it outside, karis? If you're going to tell me, ein oisei ve'ez benoi noig b'kashim, my carbon is no constant of oisei ve'ez benoi because it's not a shkita ru'ya. So ignore what happened inside. Ignore the first one. Shani, now when he takes the second one outside, it's a perfectly suitable carbon. I'm my belais I say basulay. Why only elois I say it should be kares. Kares not milchayim. Should be liable for kares. Ela my Rava, because of this kasha, Rava is compelled to revise Rav Amnuna's statement. Yeah, of course, Rav Amnuna agrees that theoretically, according to Rav Shimon, oisay v'esbenoy applies to karbanis as well. Provided the zrika happened as well. So let's say he did shechita on the carbon and he actually proceeded to the zrika. Now, it triggered edibility. That stamps it as a proper shechita. It sort of completes the shechita process. It is now regarded as shechita ru'ya going forward. And now if he shechts the offspring within the same day, he's liable. But suppose he shechted the offspring so soon after the shechita, before there was zrika, before it was sort of implemented and rendered as an edible shechita, in that case, we don't count it. It's not shechita ru'ya. So it's slightly revised. Ela marava. Hachei kamar. Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna meant as follows. It depends on the situation. Sometimes the shechita of a carbon is shechita ru'ya, sometimes not. Depends if you had the zrika as well. Ein malkus. Oysei ves benoi neig bekachim. You can't give malkus when a person did a shechita of oisei v'zbenei by karbanis. Why? Because malchus requires a warning, a prior warning. You have to tell him, look, you're going to do this, you're going to get malchus. Well, you can't do that so early in the process when it's still unknown whether he'll complete the edibility process and bring it to zrika. Right? Kivan de kamad aloi zorek dam. Since prior to doing the zrika, to completing the process, to making the food edible, lo mishturi basa, the basa will not become mutter. So the shechita per se is not a shechita ru'ya, only unless it gets to the point of zrika. So now, at this early point in the process, b'idna de koshachal, when the fellow does the shechita, have asroi safek. It's a sort of an uncertain warning. And an uncertain warning is not considered a warning. The person thinks you're playing around with him. You have to tell him with no uncertain terms. You do this, you get malchus. Oh, so now let's see how it plays out. V'az the Rava l'tami. So Rava, in this explanation, just said, is in line with his own statement stated elsewhere. So Rava explains to us how exactly this works out. And according to the shita of Rav Shimon, that we need a shechita ru'uya to trigger the Isser of Oisev Ezbenoi. Tamar Rav explains to us. Let's say, he chulun of no shlomim. You have a pair of animals. Mother is just a regular chulun, and the offspring is a shlomim. And he shechts them both on the same day. Is he liable or not? It depends in which sequence. Why? Shochat chulun v'achar kach shochat shlomim pater. He did the chulun first, and then he did the shlomim on the same day. He's pater. Why? Because you couldn't warn him. When he was about to shech the shlam, you can do this to get a malchus. Who says? Shechita on its own won't trigger malchus, because it's not an edible shechita unless he completes the zrika. Who says he's going to do that? There's no malchus on that. Because the act of shechita by definition isn't something which triggers the liability unless he completes it, and that's an unknown at this point. But if he does it the other way, first he does the shlamim, and he does the zrika, completes the process, which makes it an edible shechita ru'ya, and then, within a few minutes, he shechs the offspring, v'achakach chulin, then does the chulin. Now we could warn him outright, listen, you do the shechita, you're done. Chayev. Of course he's Chayev. So this is in line with Rava's explanation, that by a carbon it really is up in the air, it depends. The shechita per se isn't really going to be counted in unless it's completed with this rig. V'yama Rava, comes another halacha regarding a chulin carbon sequence. V'yama Rava, he chulin uvna oila. You have the mother animal which is chulin, the offspring is an oila. In this case, in either sequence, he's pater. Let me, but it goes without saying, shachat chulin v'chach shachat oila the pater. If he does the chulin first, and then he does the oila, of course he's pater, as we explained before, because the shechita of the oila per se is not an edible shechita before this rikah. Turn time and base. Ela afilu shachat oila v'chachach shachat chulin. Even if he starts with the oila and does this rikah, done shechita ru'i, and then he goes to the chulin, he is pater. You know why? Because it has to be an edible shechita. Edible means to human beings. For human consumption, an oil is meant for mizbeach consumption. It doesn't count as shechita ru'iyah. Shechita kamais, the first shechita on the oil, lav shechita masachilah. It's not a shechita which renders it as edible. Interesting. Because it's meant for the mizbeach. Rav Yaakov Amar Yechonon, he disagrees. He says, no, that's taking it a bit too far. Even achilas mizbeach consumption, Shema Achila is counted as Achila, and it counts as a Shechita Ru'iyah. My time, you know why? That Makor, we have a Pasuk, we discussed back in Maseches Vachem, if you remember, regarding Pigel, a person has a mind to feed the carbon material to the Mizbeach, or, you know, the flesh to the Kehanim in the wrong time, that makes for Pigel. That Makor, v'ma'achel ya'achel, v'msa'ar zabach shlama. We have two forms of consumption, human and Mizbeach. They're both considered consumption, both considered Achila, and both count as Shechita Ru'iyah. B'shtei achilas hakasam. That puzzle referring to two types of consumption. Echad achilas adam, regarding human consumption on its respective material. Ve'echad achilas mizbeach, mizbeach consumption on its respective material. Likewise over here, shechita for mizbeach consumption is called shechita ru'iyah. So in conclusion, initially Rav Amnuna seemed to say that according to Rav Shimon, any shechita of every carbon is not considered regarding Eisav Espanay, because it's not going to be considered an edible shechita. Rav says it depends if it's still before Zerika or afterwards. Continues the mission. Here comes the discussion regarding Shechita Ru'iyah. Here's the mission. Hashecha devinim tzatreif. So what type of Shechita counts regarding Oisei v'Espenoi? A regular Shechita of course counts. What about a Shechita which turned out to be not so perfect? Hashecha devinim tzatreif, he does a proper act of Shechita, but it's discovered to be a defective animal. You can't eat it. Hashecha davi dezor, he does Shechita, proper act of Shechita, but he's intending for idol worship. V'ashechet paras chatas, v'ashechet par aduma, paras chatas, which is not meant to be consumed. V'shar niskel, v'ashechet a condemned animal which had struck somebody and it was condemned by the bezin for death. You can't eat that animal. Even after shechita v'egal rufa, this calf that was meant to be beheaded on account of this victim that was discovered. So all these are acts of proper acts of shechita, but they don't result in edibility. In all these, Reb Shimon Poiter, he exempts. He doesn't count it in for Eisav Esbenoi. So if he shechts the offspring within the same day, Poiter. V'chachamim mechayven. They hold him liable. Fact is, it's an act of shechita. Now, in this third category, where it was a failed act of shechita per se, it wasn't really a proper act of shechita, all agree it doesn't count. Hashechet ben snabel b'yadeh, he does shechita, and somehow the knife, you know, veered away, and he didn't do a proper, became an avail of anoicher. He damages the simon of a ma'aka, yanks them out, potter. Mishum oisav esbunay, they're not considered acts of shechita, they don't count for oisav esbunay. Let's go back to the case of Ashechet Avodah Zarah. So bottom line is, we have three categories of shechita regarding oisav esbunay. A regular, ordinary, conventional shechita, which is matur ba'achila, of course it counts. On the other side, we have acts which are not really, they don't qualify as acts of shechita. Certainly they don't count. But in the middle, we have a middle sort of category. It's an act of shechita. It's a physical act of shechita, but there's some sort of impediment. Treifa by the Zara. Shechita sheina ru'iyah, according to the Chachamim, counts. According to Reb Shimon, it does not. Amar Reb Shimon Malakash Leishonim, when do we say that even the shechita by the Zara counts for Eisav Espanoi? So he had two, a pair of animals, right? The animal and its offspring. And even if it was alive by the Zara, he's chayef for Eisav Espanoi if it was done on the same day. Lashana, it's only true. Lashashachat Rishon Avodah Zarah, the first animal, was to serve Avodah Zarah. In which case, he's liable for worshiping an idol. V'sheini l'shulchani, the second one for his own consumption, for his barbecue. So he's chayiv oisav es benoi for the second one. Aval rishon l'shulchani. Suppose the sequence is reversed. First animal was for his own personal consumption. V'sheini l'avedizor, the second one was for avedizor, potter. He's potter from Malkus on account of oisav es benoi. You know why? He gets the more severe punishment, which is death for serving an idol. That preempts a second liability. They get the most severe, and that's it. Potter. The kamlay. Because he gets, but the rabbi minay, he's liable for the more severe punishment, the avodah zarah that he did. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, so Rabbi Yechanan replies, that's such an obvious halacha. Zu, this halacha, afilu tinoi kel shel beis rabban yoydin oisa. Even the kids in the cheder know this, that when a person is faced with two liabilities, you get the most severe. Ella, I want to teach you a chiddush. Ella. Sometimes even in the other way, the first one was for his own consumption, the second one was Zora. Guess what? He will be chayev. He'll get malchus because it's oisav es benoi. On the same day. How's that? Kigoin, for example, the asru beimishim oisav es benoi. The edim, the witnesses who were observing him doing the second of the pair. I said, what are you doing? You just shechted the mother 10 minutes ago, oisav es benoi, and they didn't realize that they were doing avodah zarah. They didn't warn him on account of avodah zarah. But the asher boy, they didn't warn him mishum on account of avodah zarah. So technically, it was an act of avodah zarah, but he's not liable for avodah zarah. He wasn't warned. So in this case, of course, he gets punished for oisav es benoi. That's Rabbi Yechon's opinion. So even though the act, by its very nature, was an act of avodah zarah, which can theoretically trigger misa, but since in practice, we look at practice, in practice, it did not do so. So he's liable for the other lesser, severe liability. Reb Shimon ben Lakish Amar, he disagrees. He says, we look at the actual act itself by definition. It's an act of avodah zarah which can trigger misa that preempts any other liability from arriving. Reb Shimon ben Lakish Amar, even the chi ashrabe pater, if they would have warned them that this is an act of idol worship, which would trigger, in which case it would trigger death liability. Of course, he would be potter from the lesser liability, which is Malkus on account of Oisav es Benoi. So even if they failed to warn him, it doesn't matter. Ki loy asru, but even though they didn't warn him, and he's not going to be liable for avodah zarah. Nami potter, he's potter from Oisav es Benoi because the act, by definition, was an act of avodah zarah, and that knocks everything else out. We have the same machlokes stated elsewhere. According to Rabbi Yechon, we look at the sort of practical side of it, and according to Shimon Lakish, we look at the theoretical side of it. V'azul Tamai, they both conform to their respective opinions. They did elsewhere, the Chiyasa Rav Dimi, when he came, Amma, he quoted as follows. Chayav emisa shagigin, one transgressed an iser, which can trigger a death penalty, but he did it b'shagig, unknowingly. So again, in practice, he will not get punished, but in theory, in concept, this is an act of misa. Or v'chayavim malchus shagigin. He did an act which triggers malchus, but he did it inadvertently. There's no malchus in practice. V'davarach. Now it was accompanied by some sort of financial liability. He did the same ma'isa which, a chilul Shabbos which, damaged somebody's property. So it's a lesser liability. It's only financial. Does it get triggered in this case? So if he would get misa, of course he would be exempt from financial liability. It's a less severe liability. But in this case, there was no misa, there was no malchus because it was b'shogeg. Will that activate the financial liability or not? Same machlokes as we had before. Rabbi Yechon amar chayiv, yes, because in practice there's no misa. Reish Lakish amar oimer pater. Rabbi Yechon oimer chayiv. Reish Lakish oimer pater is exempt because this very act is an act that can trigger misa. It preempts any other liabilities. Rabbi Yechon oimer chayiv. He wasn't warned for the misa. He won't get misa. He won't get malchus. So why not pull out your checkbook and pay for it? Reish Lakish Omer Potter Dechivon Dechi Asher Bei Potter. Since if he would have been warned on the most severe, he would have gotten the most severe and would be exempt from financial. Kiloy Asher Bei Dami Potter. Even if he failed to warn him, and in practice he won't get that, but will be potter from the financial. Otsricha. Now why repeat the same discussion over and over again? We have it over there by misa vis-a-vis payment, and we have it over here regarding avodah zarah, which is misa vis-a-vis malchus of the oisav es benoi. In both cases, we seem to have the same exact machlokes. Is it about practical? Is it about theoretical? It's richa. There is a need to discuss both cases. Each one highlights another aspect of their opinions. Diyashminan baha. If we only discuss our sugya today, that it was an act of avodah zarah and that preempts malchus. Baha kamar Rishim Lakish. Perhaps over here Rish Lakish says that there's no malchus because they're both bodily punishments. The punishment of avodah zarah is bodily, and likewise the malchus of avodah zarah is bodily. So they both, you know, they knock each other out. Aval baha, but in the case of the misa with the payment. So one is body, one is pocket. Perhaps he would agree to Rabbi Yochanan if there's no bodily punishments, so hit him on the pocket. It's unrelated. It's two separate, types. On the other hand, if you only discuss the case of the body and the pocket, perhaps over there Rabbi Yochanan would say, okay, if there's no body, open the pocket. But in our story, with was Avodah Zarah and Malchus, they're both bodily issues. Both punishments on the goof, perhaps he would agree to Rish Lakish that they're mutually exclusive. That's why we discuss both cases. No, they both stick to their position in both cases. According to Rish Lakish, it's about the definition of the experience. If by definition this experience triggers a more severe punishment, it exempts everything else, even though in practice he's not getting that severe punishment. It's all a matter of what's happening in practice, and if in practice he's not getting the miso or the malchus, the more severe, he gets the lighter punishment. Okay, we'll continue this tomorrow. In a nutshell, we learned about shchita sheinu ruya according to Reb Shimon, which is eina shchita. So we have three categories of shchita. Proper shchita, of course, triggers oisav es benoi. An improper act of shchita does not. What about a proper shchita which didn't render the food edible? According to Rabbanan, it does count. According to Reb Shimon, it does not. What about Shkita of Kachim? So according to Rav's explanation, it's really pending upon the completion of the Zrika, which renders it Shkita Ru'uya. And we had a Machlekes, Shlakish and Biechen, regarding the parameters of Kimlei B'Rabba. All the best to you, and Atzlacha Rabba.